from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Please pray with us that God will speak to us out of His blessed word today. The 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. That's a serious verse. I wish I had the time this morning to just talk about it a little bit, but I don't. This verse is talking about spiritual things, not material. And it says, in regard to spiritual matters, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. This has to do with what you do with the spiritual knowledge and ability that God gives you. I believe God adds to that which we have if our heart's right and our heart is open and our minds and souls are upon God. But I believe if a Christian does not develop what God has done for them in their life, then they have less and less. I think this verse teaches no Christian stands still in spiritual matters. No Christian remains on the same plateau spiritually. You either go higher or lower. And this verse, I think, teaches that. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. I've underscored that in my Bible. It's important. Hearing, they hear not. They hear physically with their ears, but they do not hear the spiritual message. Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. See, it's possible to hear, not get one thing out of what you've heard, and not understand it. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And I want to speak to you this morning out of verse 9, which is found twice in identical words, found twice in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse 9, Jesus said, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said to the great multitude as he taught during his ministry here on this earth. The scripture that I've read to you has been called the parable of the sower. I've often preached on the parable of the sower. I'm not going to do that this morning. But the parable of the sower has to do with the sower and the seed and the soil. And four things the Lord says about people who heard him speak on this occasion. And I think four things that are typical of any audience listening to the message of God. He said that some seed fell upon stony ground. In verse 4, he deals with the seed that fell by the wayside, rather. Fowls came and devoured them up. This has to do with the hard-hearted. No seed took root. Nothing, absolutely nothing was accomplished. The blessed seed of the Word of God was sown. Sown just like it's always sown when much good is done, but nothing happened. It was like seed by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. This has to do with the hard-hearted. I do believe there are hard-hearted people in the world. They are impervious to not only to God and the gospel and the Holy Spirit, but they are impervious to anything that is good and wholesome and virtuous. We have a generation of ungodly people who major in the gross sin mentioned in the Bible of every kind, and they're hard-hearted. There was seed that fell, as verse 5 tells us, on stony places where they had not much earth. I've seen this many times. Down just under the earth a little ways, there were great slabs of stone. This was like the farm upon which I was raised, and just shallow earth on top of it. Seed put on it would germinate, it seemed, and come to life, but not live long. And it would die out because it couldn't stand the sun and could not stand the weather. This reminds me of the shallow-hearted. You always have that. Now, Jesus had them. He had the multitudes that came, and he fed them. They pretended that they were absolutely carried away with the Lord Jesus. But he stood in the twilight of that day and saw them by the thousands go away, and his heart was so broken, he said to his own disciples, "Will you also go away?" So you have the hard-hearted and the shallow-hearted. You have in this parable, and I'll just skip over it, you have the half-hearted mentioned in verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. If you read on in this chapter, you'll find the Lord's own explanation of what that means. It means that the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the material things, the external things choked out this plant until it could not grow. This is a half-hearted. Oh, if we could get the half-hearted in the work of the Lord to be whole-hearted about the things of God. Then you do have the whole-hearted mentioned in verse 8, but we must skip over that. I want to speak to you on this verse. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This text is part of a parable. And in this parable, the devil is shown as coming and stealing away the seed that has been sown. And so it reminds me of a very serious thought. And that is that when the word is being preached and when God's truth is being given out, the devil is always there. I believe that Satan is always on the job. He is faithful and dependable to see if he can thwart the purpose of God. When the truth and the word of God is preached, the devil is always at work. I don't say this to rebuke anyone, but a week ago last Wednesday night, Dr. Holman preached here in the church and preached a wonderful message, and I enjoyed it and was blessed by it and thanked God for it. But I could not help but notice two times during the service there were two people God's man preached that night. The message of God from the Word of God was preached. But I could not help but notice there were two people who did not hear anything. These two young people from two leading families in this church talked while the Word of God was being preached, talked while the invitation was going out. I think they're typical of what Jesus is talking about. Hearing, they hear not. They heard a sound, but it meant nothing to them. It pierced their ears, a sound, but no message came to their heart. Jesus said, they that have ears to hear, let them hear. And he's talking about God's word. You know, it's an interesting thing to see in the Bible. God speaks to individuals. You see, this Bible's written, it's written for all who know the Lord and believe in the Lord and believe this Bible. It's written for us, all of it. But that doesn't mean that God never speaks to an individual. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what God says to a person as an individual. I think of the seven messages in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation. There are seven messages to seven churches. Every time the message closes, you have this text that I'm using this morning. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But notice, there's something there. It says this message is to the churches, plural. Not just to the church to whom that letter's written, but to everybody. God is saying, I'm speaking to every human heart that's saved and every child of God in the churches. Let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Word of God has to say. God does speak to individuals. Now, God does not always say the same thing. The Bible says the same thing. The Bible never changes. When the Bible is preached, it's always the same. But you know, God has a way to speak to individuals. He doesn't just throw out a blanket, and that blanket covers every need of people here in the church just like that. I believe God speaks to individuals. I know he did in the Bible. That he does not say the same thing to everyone. He spoke to little Samuel and told Samuel, I'm calling you. And he wasn't calling others as he was calling little Samuel. Until finally little Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And I believe that's what you and I ought to be saying this morning. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, for I have not just two ears, which are parts of my body, but I have ears that can hear the voice of God. And speak, Lord, for thy servant would hear in his soul and in his heart what you have to say. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I cannot help but think, you know, when God talks to an individual and he can't get that individual to hear, God has other ways. God sometimes does drastic things. I think it's illustrated in the case of Joab, who was the right-hand man of King David, and Absalom, who was the handsome son of King David. Absalom had been exiled for 2 or 3 years because of his sin from the face of the father. And when he came back, 2 years went by, and he never got to see his father's face. And he said to Joab, go speak to the king. I want you to be a messenger to him. Because I want you to tell him, I want to see the king's face. And Joab ignored the message of Absalom. Absalom one day said to his servants, Joab has a field over there. joining mine. Go over there and set it afire. Burn it up. Burn every stalk of it to the ground. And when Joab saw his field burning, he ran out and said, who set my field on fire? Absalom said, I did. Why did you do that? I couldn't get you to listen. I sent messages to you and told you to go to my father the king, but you wouldn't listen. So I burned your field down. You know, I think I've seen God set fires to fields in my lifetime. In fact, I think, to be honest with you, I believe there have been times in my life when God has burned down some field in my life because God is saying, now, Tom, I want you to hear this. And you're not listening. You're hearing the sound. You have ears to hear, but you're not hearing. I'm talking to you, Tom. You see, God speaks to individuals. I pray to God this morning that God would have an entree into your soul. I'm talking to Christian people. Let God speak to you. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear, because God wants to speak to us as individuals. You know, I think beyond any shadow of a doubt, God in this Bible speaks to us about what to do with our lives. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to lose any of you. I don't want to lose the older people. Sometimes older people say, my life is all behind me. You don't know that. And if you knew you had only one more day, what I'm saying would still apply to you. Don't let me lose anyone when I say that God speaks to you about what to do with your life. I believe with all my heart. Now, God doesn't want everybody to be preachers. If everyone were preachers, what a mess that would be. I'd be wanting to preach a lot of times, and there'd be so many hundreds of them I wouldn't get to, and I wouldn't like that. I'd probably kill some of them to thin out the ranks. God doesn't want everybody to be preachers. God doesn't want everybody to be missionaries. I'm sure God doesn't want every Christian to leave America and go and be a missionary. But I do believe God speaks to people about their lives. You know, there were four brothers that got saved in the early ministry of the Lord Jesus. They, all four of them, were fishermen. And as far as I can ever read in the Bible, were successful at their business. But one day the Lord just came to those four, Peter and Andrew, James and John, two sets of brothers, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They didn't argue about it. They heard it. It sunk in their soul. The Lord was saying to them, I want your life. I know you're saved. You believed in me. I am your Savior. I know you're saved and you're going to heaven, but I want your life. I believe God speaks to people about what to do with their life. In the ninth chapter of this same book of Matthew, there's a fellow, you know, that got saved, and I'm not saying he was a crook because he was a tax collector. And I'm not saying all tax collectors are crooks. I guess I could say all tax collectors are looking for crooks. But this fellow was a crook himself. He was an extortionist. He bought the privilege from the Roman government to tax the people of Israel, God's people, and make an abundance of money. One day old Matthew got saved. You know, it makes a difference when you get saved. When your life is made over and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus and you're conscious that your sins are forgiven, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. This had happened to Matthew. And Matthew, one day the Lord came by the table where he was pushing and shoving money and making money. and said to him, Matthew, come and follow me. Old Matthew got up from his money table and started following the Lord Jesus. This is what I want to say to you. I believe life is more than making a living. Now, making a living is important. Bible says if a man provide not for his household, he's worse than an infidel. And God never puts a premium on laziness. God never justifies laziness and indolence. There's no justification for it. I pity our country in a way because there's so many people who don't work and don't have to. Because politicians, in order to get their office, have promised them an easy road. You can get it without working. And we have thousands of people in America who never put in an honest day's work, and I believe that's a sin. And I believe God puts a premium on a person taking care of the family. You know, if God wasn't interested in our families and our needs being supplied, what do you think all these promises in the book are about? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to say that it's wrong to make a living. I am going to say it's wrong to keep your life from being in the hands of God. Don't waste your life by merely making a living, but use your life as an instrument in the hands of God to win souls, to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. God is speaking to people about their lives. About 60 years ago, down around Louisville, Kentucky, there was a man interested in visiting people. And if you had lived as I have in those days, you would know that when people spoke of visitation, they didn't have the slightest idea of speaking about what you and I refer to when we say visitation. If they said go visit, it meant I'll go to some family, a relative, eat with them. That's about all the visitation there was, with the exception of few people that had gotten from the Bible that a Christian is to be interested in other people. There was a man in Louisville, Kentucky. I didn't know his name, but that man went to call on a 15-year-old boy. He said, I want you to come to Sunday school next Sunday. You'll be in Mrs. Hall's class. She's a wonderful teacher and you'll enjoy it. The young man, 15 years of age, said, I'm not going. But the next Sunday he came. Mrs. Hall's, like any good Sunday school teacher ought to do, gave people the chance to be saved and asked how many in the class know you're saved, and all of them raised their hands but a 15-year-old boy. He didn't raise his, and he didn't get saved, and he went back home. And the next week, a godly man came again and said, I want you to come to Sunday school. He said, I'm not coming. Oh, but I want you to come. I'll come by and get you. I want you to come. You'll be in Ms. Hall's class again. Wasn't she a good teacher? He said, I'm not coming, but he did. He came. He sat in the class again, and that week he decided he'd better get right with God and get saved, because a godly Sunday school teacher was interested in the souls, not just the heads, but the souls of her class, and she preached the word unto them. And a young man, hearing, he heard, and he believed, and he was saved. The next Sunday, the man came again that week and said, I want you to come to Sunday school next Sunday in the church. He said, I'll be there. And he was there. And when the invitation is given, he came down the aisle to be baptized and to join the church. And he stood there kindly in the aisle, and someone said, Would you move over a little? Let these people by. And he looked around, and there was his mother and his father, who, because he had gone, he had been saved. Now they're coming, and they want to be saved. 15-year-old boy came to know the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know who that 15-year-old boy was? His name is Dr. Lee Robertson, one of the giants of the faith, one of the great leaders of fundamentalism, one of the great soul winners of this generation, one of the great church builders of all time. Why? God said to a 15-year-old boy, I want your life. I not only want your soul to be saved and you're going to heaven, I want your life. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what God is saying to you about your life. Oh, if someone could come to you in privacy and say to you, does God have your life, Christian person? What would your answer be? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what God says to you about your life. I believe it's a tragedy not to listen to God. I was going through a neighborhood the other day, and Ms. Malone was with me, and I saw a sign I've often seen. It always does a lot to me to see this sign. I think of many things. I thank God for some things, and I pray for people that don't even know. This sign does something to me. The sign said, drive carefully. There's a deaf child in the area. And I always think, one time a baby was born, and the people announced, the doctors and people announced, after a few weeks perhaps, your little child cannot hear. Your child will never be a hearing person. And they wept, and their hearts were broken, and they said, oh, that our child could have been like other children. I think of how careful they've been to raise that child. Couldn't hear a speeding automobile or an oncoming truck. And so the sign says, drive carefully. There's a deaf child in the area, and they can't hear. So you have to be careful that they don't get killed. And people have been killed because they couldn't hear. I'm saying to you this morning, it's a tragedy not to listen to God. Oh, I believe God always wants to speak to people. It's a tragedy not to say, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth, and I'm listening. I was reading on the plane 2 or 3 years ago in the magazine put out by the airline on which I was flying. There was a story in there about a family. One night they were sitting at the table, laughing, joking, happy, wonderful family. And a little boy just picked up his plate and just threw the plate, food and all, down on the floor. He wasn't a baby. He was a little child of a few years. And his mother said, now you just get up from the table and took him upstairs and put him in his room and said, you'll have no supper tonight. That's a terrible thing to do. What they didn't know, that the father, who had a dictating machine just in the adjoining room off of the dining room, had been dictating and left it on and the mic open, and the next night he came to the table and his face was somber. And he said, I want to talk to all the family. We have wronged a member of our family. And he said, I want to play you this tape. And he played it. They heard their own voices and heard the laughter of the family. But down underneath, there was a little voice. Said, please pass me the butter. Won't you please pass me the butter? And then in a little bit, a little tiny voice under the louder voices saying, won't somebody please pass me the butter? And the dad said, all we saw was he just threw his plate in the floor. But he was begging to be heard. And no one would listen to him. And he said, the father said with tears, son, I owe you an apology. Somehow I feel today God is begging to be heard. Listen to God. For he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. God wants to speak to us. You know, there's a wonderful, wonderful thing in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, except a kernel of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he's talking about a kernel of wheat and all that it produces if it falls in the ground and dies. But in a moment, Jesus said, Father, glorify me. He's talking about his cross. If a kernel of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth. If a kernel of wheat fall in the ground and die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's talking about the cross. And Jesus knew that on the cross, your sin and mine would be laid upon him. And he said, Father, glorify me. And the Father spoke to Jesus. And the Father said, I have glorified thee, and I will glorify thee again. And here's what the Bible says about the voice of God. It says, there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified you and will glorify you again. Here's the result. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel must have spoken. That's all they got. Somebody said, I heard a loud noise with these ears, but nothing in the soul and this heart. Some said, an angel of God must have spoken. But what it was a message from God that only ears could hear that were dedicated and consecrated to God. Let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit saith and what the Bible says. I close with this. I believe of all the people in the world who should hear God, let him that hath ears hear. I believe of all the people in the world who should hear God are the unsaved and the people away from God. Oh, dear friend, if you are an unsaved person this morning, let me just entreat you and beg you from my heart, listen to God. I read something in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. I've been reading it for 53 years. I think I preached on it once or twice because I just never have felt I've really fit to preach on it too much. You read in that first chapter of the book of Proverbs in verse 24, God said, because I called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Then God said, then you shall call upon me and I will not answer. And I think, oh my Lord, how can I preach on that? That God said, I called, I reached out my hand, you just ignored it. One of these days you're going to call and I won't be answering. You know that's serious? That's so serious. I wish I had the words and ability to make a person know how serious it is. God is speaking to unsaved people about their soul that's going to live forever and never die, either in heaven or in hell. Sam Jones was a great man to get people saved and deal with people. One day Sam Jones heard God and he went out in the Lord's harvest. He tried to win a man that he saw off and on and never could win him. Sam Jones grew to old age, and this man was about the same age, and one day in a railroad station he met this man in the railroad station. And the man came running up to Sam Jones and said to him, "Sam, I've been saved. I know the Lord now. I'm a Christian." Sam Jones was thrilled. He said, "Tell me about it. How did it happen?" And the man pulled a letter out of his pocket. Said, "This is a letter for my mother who's still living. She's way in her 90s. Said, "My mother has begged me to be saved, and I never would be saved. But," he said, "I got this letter a few days ago." And he said, "Look at her handwriting. You can see the shaking of my old mother's hand as she wrote." And he said, "Look what she said. Son, before it's too late, I want you to be saved." He said, "She's written me that many times. But when I saw the trembling of her hand, when I saw the shaky letters, I said, that's God speaking to me. I need to be saved." And he said, "Sam, I've been saved by this letter from my aged mother's shaky hand." You know, God's written something to you. He's written bold and clear, and he said it's settled in heaven, and it'll live forever. It's the message that Christ, the Son of God, who knew no sin and did no sin, died on the cross and bore your sin and mine. Let him that hath ears to hear, hear. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I know that it takes more than just preaching. To move the lives of people. I know it takes the moving of thy spirit. And I beg of thee this morning that that sweet spirit of God will speak to hearts. Oh, may the Christian that hath ears to hear, hear. So many Christians need to hear ye about getting baptized. So many need to hear you about joining the church. It's all taught in your word. So many here need to hear you about tithing and soul winning, dedication and faithfulness to the Lord and his work. Oh God, may thy spirit speak to hearts. And please, dear Lord, speak to mine in a wonderful way. Lord, I pray this morning for that man or woman, boy or girl, who's here that right now cannot say down deep inside of them, "I'm saved and I know it." They can't say it, but they can say it if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, today, bless the word of God, and may thy spirit use it, and may the seed fall on fertile ground. I pray in Jesus' name. Will you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed? I want to ask you this morning, can you say, "God has my life"? I know he has your soul. You're saved, but can you say, "God has my life"? Can you say that? Think about it. Pray about it. Hear what God has to say about it. And I want to ask you, dear people, this morning, how many of you can say, "Preacher, I do know that I'm saved"? And isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to say, "I'm saved and I know it. I know I'm saved"? Would you just slip up your hand if you say, "Preacher, I know this morning I'm saved"? God bless you. You may take them down. I wonder this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder how many of you, dear people, you can't say you're saved. It's not because God doesn't love you, because he does. He loves you as much as he does me or anybody else. It's not because Jesus didn't die for you, because he did. But for some reason, to this moment, you have not trusted Christ. I want to pray for you. You'll not be embarrassed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many of you will say, "Preacher, I can't really say if I die today, I know I'd go to heaven. Pray for me." Now, Christians are praying. I want to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand by the uplifted hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You'll be saved. "Pray for me. I can't say that I'm saved." Would you just slip it up? If you want God to save you, you're interested, just slip up that hand. I did not see a hand that was not raised. There might have been, but I didn't see it. We're going to pray. And let's stand together. Everyone standing. Now, dear Father, I pray this morning that people will come to recognize and acknowledge the Lord Jesus as the one who died for them and to be saved. I pray that hearts will be moved. I pray that lives will be changed. And I pray today that we will listen to God. In Jesus' name, amen.